and welcome back to XP Waste, where the first question they should ask you at a job interview is, what is your home teleport? And the second question is, why is it still Lumbridge? I'm Michael.
And I'm Oxy. If you're new around here, welcome. We're an old school RuneScape podcast that talks primarily about old school RuneScape. I say primarily because both Michael and I are prone to distraction. We also occasionally play other video games, and we'll talk about that, as well as other interesting forms of media or IRL updates that happen in our life. But rest assured, we're at least 80% old school RuneScape. You know, we're like ground chuck. Usually it's like ground round. We're like 85 to like 90% old school RuneScape. That 10% fat, yeah. That's just anything else. But
the extra.
If you're not new around here, Michael was inactive for so long on his Group Iron Man account that I'm the new leader of the Group Iron Man team. So my first decree is not to get schmacked on Monkey Madness, because I did that quest the other day, and as soon as I got out of the prison, I got hit for an 18 off prayer. So maybe he was justified in dying. I don't know.
Michael, justice for TNO Michael.
Michael, before I ask you how your week has been,
yeah,
I gotta acknowledge the fact that this episode feels like a sham.
We could acknowledge it.
So what?
I want to get into it
a little bit. I'm about a bit of a time crunch today. So today's Tuesday. I took my national exam today and I passed, which is sick. But we don't normally record on Tuesdays, and I have to leave soon-ish to go. Mm-hmm. So, Michael, what happened? It's nobody's fault. Definitely not mine. But, like, what happened, right? What happened?
I'll try to avoid using blaming language. long story short, we always do a test recording before we actually start the show, just to make sure levels and everything sounds good. We're 61 weeks. Well, actually, we're 61 episodes. We're over that at this point in weeks. We've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And you tend to get comfortable with yourself and how you function. But I swear OBS had some sort of update that, or correct me in the comments, but I think that everybody's like properties for their microphones got reset, because mine did. And then come to find out, Oxy's did last night when we recorded, you know, version one of this podcast that you'll never hear. And he had his audio source, but there was no microphone attached to it. So, like, he was able to record his video, but yep. I went to go and edit last night, and it was just blank.
Yep.
No audio attached. So
2 hours short, of mouthing words.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good episode, and we're gonna try our best to redo it.
Yeah, we're not gonna like redo it. We don't have like a script laid out for the episode, so it's not like we're gonna like, you know, dub it over or anything like that.
Right.
But we're gonna try to do like a more condensed version of what we talked about, I guess, if that makes sense. So
yeah, because like you could see it as like the podcast we did on Sunday was the test, or like the rehearsal.
Yeah.
And this is the show, and we've got all the kinks worked out.
I mean, hopefully we're going to get to this episode. Turns out my desktop audio is going to be on. I don't actually have a desktop audio source on this recording scene, but like,
yeah,
it's happened to us before. So, you know, we got to cover all our bases.
It wouldn't be XP Waves without some sort of audio issue happening.
Honest to God.
That should be our name. It's just the Audio Issue Podcast.
Yeah. We don't talk about audio issues. We talk about old school RuneScape, but we have a lot of audio issues in the process.
So, like, you can spend all the money you want on a nice camera. You can spend all the money you want on a nice microphone. But if you just suck at podcasting,
you can spend literal years forming a stream setup, getting a comfortable desk and environment, practicing doing this on a daily basis, and you can still, like Michael said, just suck at it. So
yeah, it doesn't matter how much fruit you have on your desk for 10 weeks,
preferably none, but you know, tomato tomato, I suppose, which is also a fruit reference.
Yeah, real quick before we actually get into it, can we get a fruit update, Oxy?
I don't have any fruit yet, but the plants are looking good. I'm seeing some new leaves, which means we successfully repotted them. No issues with that, hopefully. Fingers crossed. So we had a big windstorm these past couple of days. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, we had intense heat, like mid-90s, which is really high for Michigan. And then we had a lot of wind. So the plants have been going through it, but it's nothing they can't handle. And it's nothing that they're not going to run into throughout the summer. So yeah. We're good. We're mad chilling with the plants. Hopefully we see some... I'm hoping to see at least some grape tomatoes in the next couple of weeks. Because I bought this tomato plant that's like as tall as I am, damn near. All, you know, 5'4" of me. And I... There are so many little flowers, and all the flowers correspond to like where tomatoes are going to grow. So hopefully we see a lot this summer. I want to make some nice meals with that. But
your three tomatoes that you're going to get.
Dude, I'm gonna scream if I get three tomatoes. I got three or four tomatoes last year, which was big. But I feel like, you know, like I said, I got that level 6 IRL farming. I'm ready to get some more tomatoes than just three. So we'll see.
I don't know if it's because of you. But I've had a bunch of like gardening, farming, like making a home garden videos on my TikTok, on my For You page. And the one thing that I've seen a lot of people say is you should bottom prune your tomatoes. So like you just take all the little leaves off the bottom so that it grows bigger and bushier. So I don't know if you've done that, but I recommend it.
That's going to be a plan for once we start like getting tomatoes. I need to like, I wanted to let it get acclimated to its new environment because it was raised in a greenhouse. So just give it a little bit of time. And then next week we're probably going to get out there and start like, you know, snipping some of the stuff with the bottom off. I also want to make sure that like my tomato plants are bumpy because they're roots, like they're where roots are trying to grow. So I want to make sure those are covered enough, but like okay, I'm still not good enough at farming to know like farming gardening, I think it's called in real life. Jesus Christ. Not good enough at that yet to know like when is an appropriate time to start pruning the leaves. But I did that all throughout last summer, so that's just par for the course with the tomatoes. Also, if I don't prune them, they get so big they fall over. So
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Balcony garden FTW.
Well, between when we recorded last and now, I actually got 98 fishing.
Hell yeah.
That's exciting. Currently 1.2 million XP till 98. So basically, I got it today.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back in Discord, and the last level I got was on April 30th. Wow. So I got 97 on April 30th, and then it took 17 days to get 98. So...
Well, you went to Chicago for those couple of days. You were with your family for those couple of days. So, like,
oh my gosh, yeah,
he'll have it by
tomorrow. For like 2 weeks,
is what we're saying. Yeah.
No,
he's gonna do hyper efficient three tick fishing and get it by tomorrow.
It's a little late for what I wanted to do, but I wanted somebody to teach me how to like get on Discord and just walk me through how to efficiently do three tick fishing, like timing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's... I mean, I got 1.2 million XP to practice it.
Hair and pet.
One of the goals that I have set for myself is 20 million XP in every skill. So, like, I got another 7 million to get at some point.
Hell yeah.
I plan... I did want to do most of that at Temporos just to try and figure out that log. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try and do as much Temporos as I can from 98 to 99 so I can hopefully... knock out a majority. I already have the barrel. I already have the tackle box. I'm almost done with the full spirit anglers. So like I have a lot of it done. It's just the more rare stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I may try and learn how to do the three ticking just to speed it up a little bit. But I'm not going to give myself a deadline. I'm not rushing it. So it may be like two more weeks. So you guys, honestly, you may hear in the next episode, hey, 99 fishing. Or it'll be 2 weeks from now, but I got a lot of editing to do, so I have to edit the rest of the D&D episode, and then I have to edit this episode. So between now and when this comes out, I have a lot of editing to do. Which, that being said, I'm going to try my darndest to still get it out but you guys may be hearing this like on Friday or Saturday, just depending on what my schedule looks like, because we are recording way later in the week than we normally do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're still here and you're here for our RuneScape podcast after all that gardening talk, thank you for sticking around. If you haven't clicked away already.
I mean, it's farming. It's not.
I mean, it's a fruit update, kind of. Yeah. People like that stuff. Yeah. What are we talking about today, Oxy?
We're talking about how I got a Hydra Claw today, which was sick.
Oh, hell yeah.
No, that's it helped with my rebuild strats. I went on this whole spiel on Sunday about my plan and where my money is going to be allocated to. TLDR, I need a Sang Staff to complete the final four elite combat achievements I have. Orag Freezer 2, Sleep Tight, Nightmare Speed Trialist, and Seren Speed Trialist. Sang Staff is going to be critical for all of those. So I planned on buying a Sang Staff and selling the Ancestral Hat that I bought and accidentally merged. Well, today I got a Hydra Claw. And instead of selling the Hydra Claw to buy a Sang Staff, I have enough money from Theater of Blood and Hydra that I am going to finish the Hydra task, buy a Sang Staff with the money I get, which should be about another 10 mil if I don't get any more drops.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the money left over from the Hydra task and buying the Sang Staff, I'm going to buy a Zami Hasta and just make myself a Dragon Hunter Lance.
Oh.
So I have thought back and forth where maybe instead of a Lance, an Imbued Heart might be a better purchase, because I'm generally the North Freezer at Tob. Maybe a Dragon Warhammer would be a better purchase. But I think as far as making consistent money, a Dragon Hunter Lance is going to be nice. And I can also push for my 500 or 1,000 Vorkath by the end of the year. I think I'm at, let me look myself up. I want to say I'm at like just over 600 Vorkath kills right now. Mm. Yeah, I'm at 607. So the goal is to hit 1,000 Vorkath and 1,000 Zalra by the end of the year. Really close. I have like 880 Zalra. So that's like a day of doing Zalra. But Vorkath is going to take me a little while. And a Lance is going to help that, because frankly, Melee Vorkath is one of my favorite PVM experiences in the game. So
yeah,
that's also why I haven't purchased Fletching Supplies, but that is coming once we get on the Vorkath grind, surely, because now plans have changed a little bit. And the group Iron Man, I could probably talk the whole episode about strats for that, because it's kind of a total shit show at the moment. But I've become the de facto Slayer guy on the team. I'm the Slayer, I'm the Fletcher, and we're working on raising 5 mil for me to become the smithing guy too. Because I have the level to make diamond bolts with fletching, but I need the level to make adamant bolts from smithing. And then we just have an unlimited supply of diamond bolts, because in the next couple of weeks, we're trying to do chambers, Michael. Brace yourself.
Yeah.
So
I got some training to do, buddy.
Yeah, you do. You got the membership now, so we'll be cheering.
Just bought membership. We're good. Yeah. I had a question. I forgot what it was.
Was it, what are we talking about this week?
Yeah, what are we I guess we'll move on. What are we talking about this week, Oxy?
So, originally when we recorded, the goal was for Michael and I to kind of brainstorm some ideas for what skills could benefit from new additions. A Giant's Foundry, or the Giant's Foundry, whatever it's called, and the accompanying quest is coming out sometime later this year. I think they just got done polling it like this week. Like by the time this episode's out, the poll will have ended. That's a new smithing minigame that's going to allow players to do smithing in a new and different way while occasionally being profitable, but also definitely not being the best XP from any method, because as we talked about the other day, that's kind of the way Jagex rolls these days. Like, they are never going to create a new best method for anything besides maybe the Hollowed Sepulcher. And that's just because I don't have the XP rates off the top of my head. And even then, they nerfed the Sepulcher XP rates when they came out. So
classic Jagex.
Yeah.
I mean, Giant's Foundry is not going to be bad. We all know that, like, Jagex is terrible at actually, like, estimating XP per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not the most efficient when they do their tests. Because, I mean, they were saying that, like, Lava's was going to be 80 to 90k an hour. with the giant pouch or whatever it's called, colossal pouch. I think people are getting closer to like 120k.
Yeah, if you're tick perfect, lavas are ridiculous now with the colossal pouch. Yeah. So
Jagex estimated 276k or something like that for the Giant's Foundry. But I have to believe it's going to be way more than that, which in my opinion, it's not much worse than gold bars. It's going to be a little, you know, click intensive, mm-hmm. but I can't imagine it's more click intensive than Blast Furnace. Blast Furnace, you can get a rhythm. It's not terrible, but I'm excited for it. All of these updates are coming out after I've already gotten the skill maxed, you know, 99 smithing, GZ me, but I just mentioned it before. I have a goal to get 20 mil in all skills. So like any update that they bring out in the game, it's going to benefit me in some way.
Yeah.
Because I plan to train my accounts past 99 and I'll have a group Iron Man to try it out on one day. It promises to utilize less bars, which is nice. So did you want to get into the Giant's Foundry? What we know?
I mean, or I'm going to do a TLDR just because I do have a little bit of a time constraint myself. You know, so I have a time constraint because I took my national exam today and I passed it. So we're going to go get drunk and celebrate that. So I have people coming over here in just over an hour. So that's the game plan. So TLDR, Giant's Foundry, basically you have to do a prerequisite quest, which is also kind of par for the course for Jagex as of late. Prereq quest, yeah. Which, you know, we love that shit around here.
Basically, you're going to do the Knight Sword first and then go and do the Giant's
Foundry. Exactly. So there's two prereqs. You're going to do the Knight Sword, then you're going to do the Sleeping Giant quest. So that's going to be some nice. That's like actually great. That's like nearly 40 smithing from those two quests, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. I don't know the quest rewards off the top of my head, but like on a new account, that's like, dude, 6K?
Yeah.
That's like nearly 40 smithing off the rack. Yeah. That's awesome.
You get 29 from the Knight Sword and then 6K XP on top of that.
29 from the Knight Sword? I thought you get more, but
no, I think it's 12K XP.
Yeah.
Which is insane for a free to play quest.
It is, yeah.
By the way.
So, yeah, you'll get
thought that was a good idea.
You'll get a little over 30 and then I'm sure there's other quests or reward smithing or you can just stick diary lamps on it cuz who gives a shit?
Well, but you might not if you have all the training you can do with Giant's Foundry.
Yeah.
The thing is, you're going to have to bring your own bars.
Yeah, that's the downside.
Yeah, it's not like any of the other training methods that they've kind of put out where they kind of give you the supplies and then you, like with Guardians of the Rift.
Yeah,
like
it's all in-house
while you're there. Yeah, so that's the sucky part, but it'll make the bar economy go up a little bit, I think.
It's also on point with what, like, Blast Furnace or, like, smithing in general is. Like, there are no real smithing methods that provide materials for you.
Right.
Other than maybe smithing elemental bars from Elemental Workshop, because it's all technically in-house, but, like, you still have to bring your own coal. There's no coal deposits there, which kind of sucks.
I'm kind of glad they did it like that, though, because, you know, if we had a zero-money way, a completely profitable way of training smithing, it kind of would break the economy in the sense that, like, you know, nobody's going to make darts as much. We've got a lot of stuff tied to people just sitting there making the stuff.
Yeah. There's like a whole underground, like, I think it's like World 306 or something. It's a free-to-play world.
Oh, World 308. Yeah.
At Varrock West Anvil, dude. They make like rune shit and will sell it for above the high elk price or like just under the high elk price. And
below the high elk.
You make a lot profit of money because alkers will buy it to profit that way. Takes a hell of capital to get to that point, but
I have experience doing that because whenever I did my smithing grind, I made Addy plates and I went there and sold all of them because Addy plates are profitable for alking. It's just really hard to get them in bulk from the Grand Exchange because I think the limit's like 150 every 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's not a viable method if you're just trying to get them off the Grand Exchange. But yeah, they have a whole community of people who mostly make like rune two-handed swords.
Yeah, rune 2H is the best profit.
Yep. But yeah, some of the rewards from this, if you care to know, spoiler, we're gonna spoil the rewards for the actual minigame. If they pass the poll, all of this is kind of subject to change. Actually, it probably will change. So first on the list is the Smith's uniform. So I thought this was really interesting. Every time you wear a new piece of the outfit, it gives you a 20% chance to reduce your anvil by one tick.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole set, when worn, is a guarantee that you'll have reduced your speed by one tick. So if you just have the top on, maybe every other, you know, one in five chance that you'll have a one tick faster make. But yeah, wearing the whole set gives you 100% chance, which I think is cool. I honestly, dude, I really like how they're doing scaling outfits now, where it's not just a boring 2.5% boost,
mm-hmm.
because that's really outdated. People have found over the years that the only reason it's efficient or even needed to get a scaling outfit is if you're going past 99.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't save you any time from when you get the outfit to 99. In most cases, it's only like a couple hours. But all the new scaling outfits now, and especially with this new one that they proposed, it breathes new life into getting a scaling outfit. And if I was at JMod, I would be looking at the conversation of, should we rework all the scaling outfits? I think so. It literally would only help the game.
Yeah, I'm hoping, and I don't remember off the top of my head how they're doing it, if they're doing it like a reward shop or like a reward pool, you know, like Temporo says reward pool, Winter Tides crates, Guardians of the Rift has both, but like I'm curious how they're going to do it, but I'm hoping it's not like astronomically expensive, because
blog it does talk about a reward shop, so you should be able to buy it.
That's been the downfall of the other skilling outfits. It's been the, God, what is it? It's the construction outfit, the Guardians of the Rift outfit, and even to an extent, the Spirit Angler outfit, kind of, have been just really expensive for the amount of currency that you get per game.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, like, you really got to commit to get the full outfit.
I would agree.
They're all it's attainable, you know, even like the, to go as far as like the Sepulcher recolor is a hell of a lot longer than Marks of Grace to get like a Corrend House recolor.
So there's a couple other ones. We'll go through them quickly. The ore pack, it just lets you purchase a lot of coal in one go. You've got some different interesting molds that'll help you act like within the actual mini game. 8 cannonball mold. Now this one's going to be interesting because it's just going to make making cannonballs way more AFK than it already is. I don't know if you're just going to make more. We'll have to see. It's definitely going to be interesting. I have never made cannonballs on my account, but I know that if you do, and like a lot of people do it for AFK reasons, because I think it takes like 2 to 3 minutes to make an entire inventory, which is just insane. They've got a smithing catalyst pulled, which is, let's see. The smithing catalyst will reduce the amount of coal needed, but also double the XP given. It's a consumable, non-stackable item that you keep in your inventory. Similar to Blood Essence, I would assume. They've got a new smithing boost. So this will be a drink that you can buy from the shop, and it'll be a +4 temporary boost, which is nice. Because right now you've got, what, a +2 or a +3?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually a +2.
Yeah.
That you can get from a drink, and then obviously you can
it's the matured version of the drink. So like, if you're an Iron Man, go f*** yourself, I guess. Like, you can buy it, but...
And finally, we have the Colossal Blade, which we could definitely spend a lot more time on. And we may do it next time. But this thing's... It's got massive strength bonus and pretty good slash and crush bonus. So... we're going to have this linked in the description below. So if you could check out the blog, everything is at the bottom. Like we said, they're polling it this week, and the poll actually ends before the episode comes out. So we won't actually know if any of this passed yet, but we're hoping it does. I just blanket voted yes on everything.
There's no reason for it not to. I mean,
yeah, I can't see any of it not passing. Maybe like the catalyst is kind of silly. We could have it, we could not. But most of it, I think, is going to pass. So what we actually want to talk about today, and this was kind of inspired by the Giants founder, like Oxy said in the beginning, is we took a look at some of the skills that are in the game, and essentially we thought of, well, what are some skills that are either boring or don't have a lot of content? What could we do with these skills that could make them interesting? Mm-hmm. Like a Sepulchre level, like a Guardians of the Rift, like a Temporos type. It doesn't have to be a mini game, but what can we do to spice it up? And so we've each come with a skill in mind. And we had a lot of stuff fleshed out the last time we recorded, which is, it's okay. But we'll give you like the final pitch, essentially.
Hopefully, more like abridged version.
Yes, the abridged. We'll make it condensed. We'll make it beautiful. I went first last time, so I think, Oxy, you should go first this time.
Sure, I'll go first this time. Mine is going to be a little bit shorter because I was kind of like free-balling ideas on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So of the skills that we looked at, the first one that, of course, comes to mind for me is Hunter. A couple weeks ago, during a fun question, I had an idea for like kind of like a Hunter-type Slayer task. Where you go out and you like hunt dinosaurs and shit, and you like track them all over Gilinor. That sounds like a fun addition, but after thinking about it a little bit more, what I kind of realized that Hunter needs isn't necessarily a singular new piece of content. Hunter needs a point. I've had time to think and kind of reassess my initial opinions, and they mostly don't change, but I do want to acknowledge that like Hunter is pretty passive, which is a plus. Hunter is profitable in a lot of different facets. Birdhouses are profitable. Chinchampas are profitable. Herbivore is profitable. It's not terrible XP per hour. It's not like mining where like enjoy your 15K an hour at Motherlode Mine if you don't pay perfect attention. You know, you get pretty decent XP rates at Herbivore, at Black Chins. You can 3-tick chins for good money and good XP. Hell, even Driftnet fishing ain't terrible. So there's a lot of things that are good with Hunter. But what Hunter lacks is a point. And hear me out on this one. So the highest requirement you need for anything in Hunter is 70 for Song of the Elves. For the Achievement Diary Cape, you technically need 70. But the only diary requirement that requires a high Hunter level is the Wilderness Elite Diary for the Black Salamander. Now, you need 70 for the Achievement Diary Cape as it is because you have to get a quest cape. So you have to complete Song of the Elves at this point. But Hunter doesn't have much of a requirement. Unlike rune crafting, where you literally have to do it, you have to get at least 86 rune crafting. You have to get at least 85 agility. You have to get at least 80 or 82 mining, you know. 91 fletching, 91 thieving. Like, you have to get some of these skills that don't often affect your day-to-day, especially if you're a big PVMer like me, that don't usually affect your day-to-day. Like, you have to get these skills pretty high, right? Hunter kind of stagnates after 60, though. Not after 60, after 67. Like, there's not really a point to doing it. And that's what Hunter lacks for me. I like the idea of a couple different additions to Hunter. First and foremost, the addition of like a Hunter task system, I think would be good. It's derivative of Slayer, certainly, and I think it could get old really fast. But I think part of the allure of Slayer is prior to like level 80, it sure as hell ain't the money. Right? Like, people think Slayer's profitable, but enjoy getting nothing until you're in. I think the earliest you start to make any money, realistically, is 63 with Worms. And that's if you collect every bone or get a harpoon drop. But, like, as far as consistent money goes, couple hundred K per task, that comes at, like, Gargoyles or Necreels, right? So it takes a long time to get there. But what I think is appealing about Slayer is this element of a random goal that's being set for you. Go kill 130 blue dragons because you're a low-level Iron Man and I hate you, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm killing baby blue dragons. That's something I wouldn't normally do. But it's a random goal I now have because it feeds other goals of mine. I'm training combat, I'm training Slayer, and I'm doing this random thing, right? And there is some reward. Baby dragon bones are prayer experience, for example, for an Iron Man. Or maybe real dragon bones and blue dragon hide are money for a main account. Mm-hmm. This is not specific to my Slayer task. It's an example of how sometimes being randomly assigned something to do can be motivating to go do that thing, right? At the higher end, I finally got told to do a Hydra task, and I got a Hydra Claw today. So I'm stimulating the rebuild on my main. Plus, people shit on it for being a count of three simulator. I fucking love Hydra. I really enjoy that boss. It's satisfyingly quick. Bofa rips and tears through Hydra. Like, I really enjoy Hydra tasks, even though they take me no shit 2 weeks to get through. Because I only do about 20, 30 Hydra a day, and even that's like 2 or 3 hours. I really love Hydra tasks. I think a hunter task system could be beneficial if done the right way, but I don't think that's the only thing that we need to give Hunter a point. I think making Hunter a little bit more engaging. I know this isn't meant to be me reworking Hunter, right? I am genuinely thinking of additions. On Sunday, we kind of talked about the addition of, like, dinosaurs to Hunter. They have them in RS3 on, like, Acantia or something is the name of the island. I don't remember what it's called. I think Acantia is a snail from Ark. I don't remember. but there's an island full of dinosaurs. And I think a way to incorporate new content would be to also incorporate existing content, right? With the Hunter skill, there is equipment that you have to wear, but you don't actually have to wear it because it doesn't matter. They coded Hunter incorrectly and the clothing you get doesn't do anything for you. Unless you're talking about the spottier cape, which used to be really good for weight reduction, but now we have graceful, nobody wears it. If you made these dinosaurs, some of them sight sensitive, so you had to wear certain kinds of camouflage. If you made certain, I think that level 39 Hunter, you can use smoke to mask the scent of a trap. Shoot me a comment or something in Discord. Have any of you ever actually done that since Old School has released? Probably not, because it's not a mechanic that matters in Hunter. Maybe you have to smoke traps. Maybe you have to hide traps with different Hunter levels and different Hunter abilities. If you look at something like box traps, right, you'll see that Chinchampas all have a preferred kind of bait that you don't have to use because Hunter is broken. Thank you, Colinello, for informing me on this in one of your videos. Love to have you on the show, by the way. But bait doesn't matter. Equipment doesn't matter. Smoking traps doesn't matter. The only thing that matters outside of what level you can catch things at is how many traps you can put down. And also what kind of birdhouse you can make, which also has a crafting level determinant with it, which, frankly, I think is a good addition. I think birdhouse is helped by having to train another skill alongside that to get the best XP. I think if we made an island of dinosaurs, Michael kind of pitched like a Fossil Island 2, Fossil Island Junior, right?
Yeah.
That actually has these living, breathing dinosaurs. Which, the dinosaurs are a stand-in for any creature that could be hunted on this island. Give rewards, either cosmetic rewards, perhaps a graceful recolor of different areas. Could you imagine a jungle graceful that now disguises you from dinosaurs that can't see jungle patterns, but also gives you the full weight reduction bonus?
That'd be so cool.
Perhaps give you a way, maybe like the Spirit Angler outfit, where if you're wearing a certain hunter outfit, like perhaps you're wearing kind of picture like a Monster Hunter-esque dinosaur outfit made from materials you've gotten from these creatures. Maybe when you're wearing that full outfit, your scent doesn't get put down on any of the traps. So now we have a skilling outfit added to the game, just like we talked about for Giant's Foundry, that is beneficial to get because, like Spirit Angler, it has an additional effect to what might happen, right? Maybe the outfit itself, you know, gives you a chance to catch two of whatever you're hunting, beautiful for Chinchampas, and the dinosaur recolor allows you to have no scent when hunting dinosaurs or something like that. when I say what the piece of content needs for Hunter is a point, it's a lot of small things that don't quite equate to a skill rework, in my opinion. Because again, there's nothing wrong with Hunter. A lot of Hunter methods, even the kind of like off-kilt ones, are pretty viable. You ever caught salamanders? That's pretty decent XP. You ever caught maniacal monkeys? That's pretty good XP.
Yeah.
Hell, even birds at the lower level aren't too bad for leveling up, right? Herbivore, birdhouses, chinchampas, drift net fishing. You've got that shit on Mulk Island where you can get the golden tench. That's engaging. Hunter has a lot of good content, and I don't think Hunter is a bad skill. I think because there's not a point to Hunter, especially if you're a main account, right? There's no point to having a super high Hunter level, in my opinion anyways, that a new piece of content that incorporates other aspects of the skill that already exist is crucial. So a Hunter task system, a new area that requires Hunter monsters to be tracked or caught in a certain way. Obviously, there has to be some sort of new reward. You know, perhaps there is a unique, graceful recolor. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that would be particularly beneficial as per it being related to Hunter.
I think you mentioned, like, whenever you catch a monster, it could drop some sort of item that would upgrade a weapon, for instance.
Maybe like
upgrade to your scythe.
Your whip, we did talk about that yesterday. You know, if you have like a tier 92 Hunter monster that you go through all this work to trap, you know, maybe like 1 an hour spawns, kind of like dragon imblings, right? There's 1 an hour per every world, and you have like a 1 in 200 chance, the exact same rate as a ring of endurance, to get like, you know, a dinosaur tooth or a dinosaur rib, and you add that to your Garazi rapier, and now you have like, you know, the tyrant rapier, like Tyrannosaurus Rex, or you have the prehistoric rapier, something like that.
Yeah.
That upgrades an existing weapon. That is a very inconsistent example of how PVM rewards work, but you get my point. Maybe it's an upgrade to the leaf bladed sword, because that might be a little bit more appropriate. Or the leaf-bladed battle axe. A prehistoric bladed battle axe that does more damage to Kurasks and Turoths. Small things, right? Obviously, an upgrade to the Garazi rapier might be a little off-putting. Also, how does that make sense? That an item from Theater of Blood gets upgraded through Hunter? That's kind of stupid. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't an item from Hunter be upgraded through Theater of Blood? My point is something to improve an existing piece of content, whether it is the Garazi rapier or whether it's the dragon long sword or something like that, you know, something to kind of, that would be actually sick as hell though. Maybe even make ornamental dragon long sword kits so they look jagged, you know, that'd be cool.
It would kind of revitalize some old content if they were to make these untradeable attachments for dragon tier weapons. So maybe you could have a dragon longsword with a hunter attachment that suddenly makes it like a tier 70, like a tier 75 weapon.
Maybe even like a tier 65 weapon, like still not better than an abyssal whip
now. Yeah,
like still not better than an abyssal whip, but a little bit better.
Well, if you're going to get because my thinking on that was like you're going to get 92 hunter or 91 hunter just to have a small upgrade. Like a 5-level upgrade on your dragon longsword, I don't think that's worth it. But if it made it as good as maybe a whip and you have an alternative to training slayer, that would be cool. Because some people just don't like training slayer. I don't know. Who doesn't? I do.
That's true. I mean, low level slayer sucks. I'm doing it on the groupie. Man, I got 46 slayer. This shit sucks. So I get it.
So like, yeah, imagine you have a dragon longsword, you got 60 attack, you use that until you get 75 attack, but then you're simultaneously training hunter, and now you have this attachment that's going to help you once you hit 75 attack, and then You can use that attachment on your dragon longsword to then help you get higher slayer until you can get a whip.
Yeah.
But which, a whip is 65, isn't it?
Or a, 70? Whip is a whip 70, is 70. But a whip on an Iron Man also requires 80 slayer if you're going to pie boost. 85 if not. Yeah,
85 so, if not. So it's a long time before your whip level. And you're using that dragon longsword for a long time.
Yeah, usually it's a dragon scimitar. Because of the
dragon DPS. Scimitar.
But
using,
in any case, something to give it some, like maybe it's a tier 65 weapon now, because while Barrows is really good for armor, Barrows weapons just are not. You got Darok's Great Axe, Varrok's Flail, and Guthan's War Spear for those three sets specifically. But like you don't independently use a Guthan's War Spear. You can make an argument for Carol's crossbow because it is the poor man's blowpipe. So that works. But like prior to an Abyssal Whip, there's really nothing in between. It's Dragon Scimitar, you get 70 attack, and then you train strength with your Dragon Scimitar until like the high 80s, mid 90s, when you have 85 slayer to go kill abyssal demons. So,
and that's if you don't get somebody to carry you through TOB as an Iron Man, and maybe you get a rapier, you know?
Yeah, like it, you know, you could RNG. Get lucky and get like dragon claws or something from a carried raid, or like, you know, we have a friend who, instead of doing Corrupted Gauntlet, Kyle got lucky and got a Garazi rapier, so that's his weapon.
Okay.
You know, so.
Oh, yeah, you can get the Blade of Saldor. Nobody talks about that anymore because it's just way too overpriced to even be viable anymore.
Not for Iron Man.
I mean, if you get an enhanced crystal weapon seed, I would hope that you make a Bofa and not a Blade of Saldor.
I mean, it depends on what you're using it for, I suppose. Like, if you're grinding Tob, you'll probably want a Blade of Saldor. But if you're trying to get your Infernal Cape, you probably want to do whatever. But
yeah.
If that said, if you're an Iron Man who's been grinding for an enhanced crystal weapon seed, unless you got hella spooned, you probably have a shitload of shards. So, end of the day, you're probably set with whatever you end up with. But
yep, that's very true.
In any case, speaking of a big old tangent, something to improve existing content, Michael is correct. Whether it's an addition to dragon weaponry to make it cooler, maybe it's an addition to dragon armor to make it look like dinosaur armor. I don't know.
Gosh, just that'd be so cool.
Some sort of upgrade to existing material that both looks cool and serves a purpose while not being ridiculously overpowered. If you guys have any ideas for what you could have from a hunter upgrade, let us know in Discord, because I also half considered crafting as well, because hear me out, as a filthy main, why do you train crafting?
For the cape. That's it.
For the cape. Cool.
So it's 199, it needs a point.
It's got a good teleport. Once you hit 80 or even 79 with the +5 boost for the Mauritania Elite Diary, what are you training crafting for?
I argue without the crafting guild teleport, or without a bank being in the crafting guild, it would be one of the worst capes in the game. It's like there's no point on a main account to train crafting. And if I'm wrong, correct me, because I'm open to feedback, but I literally can't think of a reason. It's not that profitable. Like, you're not making money.
Well, I'm sure there are some niche uses where, like, I've been saving battle staves my whole life, and now I have a bill worth of battle staves. Like,
you can buy them, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So we're talking strictly as a main account. As an Iron Man, crafting is essential, right? Yeah. Crafting is how you get all your jewelry and your armor and things like that. Your Zenites in particular. You got to get literally, if you're not going to boost, you have to get 98 crafting. And at that point, you might as well just get 99.
That's one thing I do appreciate about crafting, though. Like, not to put it down too much, but like it is one of the skills that has a use for people until you're almost maxed. Like, that and Herb Lore are probably the two of the most balanced 1 to 99. You're doing something the entire time,
honestly, you unlock things. They really they're worthwhile unlocks.
Mm-hmm. Construction, you know? You could argue there's stuff the whole time, but even then, you're not really doing much after 82 because you're boosting anyway.
Bro, I got 84. Why did I get 84 construction?
Or I think it's 83. It's 84 or 84 for the ornate jewelry box.
I think it's 83 for the jewelry box because it's a plus 3, then a plus 5. So it's a plus 8 because it's 91 for the jewelry box. I think for some reason I wanted to get 84 so I didn't have to worry about specifically getting a plus 5 boost.
Oh.
I don't remember, frankly. I looked on my Wise Old Man tracker. I have trained maybe 30K worth of construction the entire year. Almost all of that has come from Demporos. Like, I haven't trained Khan since I hit 84 at level with you guys. So, long bones and Demporos, baby.
I'm at 130K over 99, and that's probably all from Wintertod and Demporos. Tangent aside, I think it's my turn.
I think it is. I think that about covers it. I know it's not necessarily a concrete piece of new content like Michael's about to present, because I think Michael's got a pretty good thing cooking here. But it's more of a broad concept that I think needs to be applied to Hunter and somewhat crafting, but mostly Hunter.
Yeah. So I'm going to need your help like we did on Sunday with this one, because I think you had a lot of good ideas. But I think that there's one skill in this game that is boring, but not unbearable, and that is woodcutting. So basically, from level 1 to level 99, you chop a tree, you drop the logs. There is an argument that you can bank them for some money if you do a certain way, or you're banking them to train fire making or fletching, but I digress. After you hit at least 75, or once you get to teaks and you're just chop and drop, there's really no point to woodcutting other than going for 90. And at that point, the whole point is to get 99 so you can stop woodcutting. So
that is a really good point. Like, why do people go for 90? It's like an AFK Redwoods, get 99 and not do it again or get the pet.
And then,
like pet, it's weird. So
90 is the requirement for the diary. You can get 85 and boost. But the highest requirement for a diary is 90 because you need to chop a redwood log. So you can make an argument that after 85, there's really no point to woodcutting. Now, my idea doesn't necessarily give you a point to train woodcutting past 85, but it does give you a more interesting way other than chop and drop. And that is in the form of a new skilling minigame slash boss, skilling boss. So we kind of narrowed it down to, it could be in the wilderness, but it doesn't have to be. I just want it to be kind of spooky, because the idea here is to fight and or defend somebody against a giant monster ent, E-N-T. So a giant living tree of some sort. And this ent could have the ability to like grow trees at a moment's notice and block your path. The whole idea came from just thinking about like a Temporos or Wintertod style boss, but wanting it to be more interesting than just like collect resource, shoot resource at boss. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, that's a fun way, and that's an interesting, easy way to make a, you know, a mechanic for a skilling boss. But once you've done it twice, I think, and like if they do it a third time, it'll just be like a roast fest on Reddit. So we're going to try and avoid that with this one. Oxy came up with the idea last time we recorded that the arena that you're in could almost be like the rings of a tree. So it's going to be like a circular kind of off circle shape. And there's different rings that you have to traverse to collect the resources or to collect certain things to help you win each round. He also thought of a way that this could turn into some sort of a maze. So I don't know if you want to go into this, Oxy, but I think you had a really good idea the last time we talked about it.
Yeah, so the TLDR is that the rings kind of like rotate in certain directions every couple of game ticks, with the rings on the outside holding the best resources to give you the most points. Decent XP, but definitely the most points, because obviously with every mini game, there's a points versus XP threshold, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like, you know how Guardians of the Rift, sometimes the blood, death, and fire are only open for a certain period of time, and you want to get the best ones, or there's the double fishing spots at Temporos, right? The best resources are on the outer rings, but the outer rings shift at a faster rate. So maybe it's every 12 game ticks or every 15 game ticks, they rotate by one. And if another ring below that rotates at a different speed or in a different direction, make it function like a maze where you kind of have to randomly wait for a path to open up and hope a path stays open, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of adds that risk and reward factor of like, if I can get back in time, I'm going to get hella XP because I'm adding redwood bark or like redwood, you know, saplings or whatever to this boss I have to kill. Cause that's basically all skilling mini games, get material, put them in the boss somehow, whether it's shooting them or like helping charging it stay alive, them. Like Guardians of the Rift. Yeah. But I have to risk not getting back on time.
Right.
We talked about a couple other things. Like you had an idea for like getting attacked by roots and a big thing that you suggested. Yeah. It was like rewards, good gameplay.
Yes. So, the idea was like with the maze, you could have different paths that you can take, but the more desirable paths could be lined with like these roots that will trip you up. But the one point that I wanted to make, and Oxy just kind of mentioned it, was rewarding good gameplay, because it has to have some sort of element of you can avoid it if you know how, because it'd be really frustrating to like be tick perfect in every single way and then you just get tripped up by a random route that you had no control over.
The cold of the winter tud seeps into your bones. Makes me want to throw my keyboard sometimes. I hate that shit. So yes.
Yeah. So if we could go back and rework winter tud, it would make it to where there's no random thing that will hurt you, but you can avoid like the snowfall and the brazier. It would be along those lines. Like you would see some sort of an animation that would warn you that a root is about to hit you, you could dodge it. Mm-hmm. And it would be rewarding the good gameplay versus just punishing good gameplay, because that's the one thing that would make most people just be like, yeah, this sucks.
Yeah. Like, not even punishing, just like stupidly inconveniencing good gameplay.
Yes.
You know, we kind of talked, we kind of talked on Sunday that these mechanics already exist, where if you don't play well, you suffer dearly. Think of Nex and Nightmare with the shadow attacks.
Because it turns off your run energy, right?
Nightmare like shits all over you. If you I'm thinking specifically of like Fazani's Nightmare, it'll just hit you for like a 60. Oof. If you get hit by a shadow. So it's big damage, right? Winter Tod kind of has it with the big snowfall things that you can avoid.
Yeah.
Which frankly, I think if you took away the stupid annoying tick damage and replaced it with just like absolute body crushing hardcore Iron Man killing, like when the brazier breaks, you get hit a 40. Doesn't matter what your like HP level is. Like you just get one bang if you're not quick enough on the brazier. But you don't take random tick damage.
I would even go as far as to say remove all damage from Winter Tod. Lower the XP rates a little bit and just make it more to where it's like a time delay thing. So they already kind of have that where you can't spam click the brazier. Mm-hmm. So say the brazier breaks, you get bounced back like 6 tiles and then your character has to walk back or something.
Or if the brazier breaks, there's nothing under there for you.
There's nothing under there. What does it say in the plugin that tells you like all your mistakes?
Bye.
Bye.
So Winter Tod falls on you.
Tracker 2022, baby, let's go.
Bye.
But in our minigame, and so in the woodcutting minigame, it would reward good gameplay in the sense that you could avoid the traps. Oxy already kind of talked about the outer rings being the best, and like I even thought of like in somewhat similar aspect to Guardians of the Rift, you could be trying to defend an old wise tree from like possessed lumberjacks or something, and you need to fortify walls around it, or you need to do something to like immobilize the lumberjacks. And then I was even thinking just now, because we talked about scaling outfits, so JMods, if you're out there and you're listening, these ideas are free. It would be really cool to make some sort of like benefit to wearing the lumberjack outfit. Maybe like if you're wearing the lumberjack outfit, the possessed lumberjacks ignore you or something because you're kind of blending in.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make it to where it makes sense to wear it. Or, I don't know, you can navigate the forest easier because we talked about it, like being in the wilderness being kind of spooky because it's going to be like a scary forest.
Mm-hmm.
And the different maze is kind of dark. I don't know. You mentioned the last time we recorded that, you know, you had to like access the wilderness to get to it. I don't know if I really like that idea because I think of woodcutting as like this jolly skill. Everybody loves it. You know, there's really nothing wrong with it. There's no trees that are good to chop except for a magic tree in the wilderness. So I don't know. Thematically, it doesn't really make sense to me.
But there's Ents out there. You could even make it themed like that's a spirit true. Tree. You know, like I think we said, like if you want to go on like the defending route, you could make it so like you have to defend a spirit tree and you have to reinforce its defenses by putting different kinds of bark or different kinds of logs on there.
Yeah.
I think an upgrade like from that mini game, an upgrade to the lumberjack outfit. First of all, the upgrade has to make you buff as shit. Yeah, you ever seen a scrawny lumberjack? Absolutely not. Nope. Who's that hot guy on TikTok that splits the logs the size of cars? Make it look like him, right?
Yep. Yep.
Ripped. even for female characters, even just ladies. Shredded.
Like ever we're seen talking a lady lumberjack? They're hot.
I sure. I don't think I've ever seen a lady lumberjack, but I mean, if you can split a log like that, it's gonna make me more act up. In any case, a cosmetic change would be neat, but more importantly, you know, giving it a benefit that wouldn't be game breaking. My first thought was like double logs for the same amount of XP, but that kind of drastically changes XP per hour some places.
Yeah.
Like that has a bit too much of an effect.
Yeah.
So maybe this new lumberjack, new lumberjack outfit has like a 2.5% chance to save infernal axe charges. So you don't have to use charges when using your infernal axe. Cause like everybody uses an infernal axe unless you're an Iron Man who's trying to save it or like only has one smoldering stone for your infernal harpoon. If you're a main account and you're going for a 99 woodcutting, you're using an infernal axe. Like if you're not, I would like to know why.
Right.
But if you're cutting redwoods 299 on a main account, you're probably using an infernal axe, which it's is free good fire making keep XP, doing that. It's so. Free fire making XP and it saves time from dropping logs, right?
Yep.
So maybe it saves charges on an infernal axe. Maybe it's kind of derivative of the smithing thing and there's like a 10% chance that like you have the opportunity to collect a log, potential to collect a log every 4 game ticks instead of every 5 mm-hmm. game ticks at like a 5% chance. So it kind of increases XP if you get lucky.
Yeah.
But not like dramatically.
Well, if you're going to go through the trouble of upgrading the entire outfit, I would even give it the same specs as the smithing outfit. Like
I think at
you
that
have to
point,
get the lumberjack outfit and you have to spend all these points or get random drops from the boss, you should be able to get like 100% chance to reduce by one tick. I don't think that's terribly game breaking, but maybe it negates all like tick manipulation. Maybe they code it to where it breaks tick manipulation or something. I don't know.
That actually, I don't know how it would do that, but
I don't know.
Yeah, because I think the way three ticking. You can two tick teaks where you have two NPCs attacking you. They're off tick. So it's like attack, nothing, attack, nothing, attack, nothing, attack, nothing. And on that nothing action, you're clicking on the tree. So you auto retaliate. So you're turning and then you're clicking and then you're turning another way and then you're clicking and then you're turning another way and you're clicking. And you have a chance to get a log on each of those actions. So to negate two tick teaks, that's a lot of work. But I think in order to make that feasible, to speed up that action,
might have to not be 100% chance, because you're right. It's way too easy to tick manipulate.
But it would also have to
manipulate
be...
smithing. So I think that's the argument. You can't get a faster rate unnaturally
mm-hmm.
through smithing. You can with woodcutting.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be like, you're right, like 10%, maybe 30% with the whole set. I feel like that's fair.
It would also have to be astronomically expensive.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you get 5 points a game, it's got to be like 500 points per upgrade piece. Like,
yeah,
it's got to be a lot of money. Kind of like how the construction outfit is pretty decently expensive, but also saves you a shitload of money in the
long
term.
It does. It really does.
Like, construction,
like a couple mil at least.
Yeah, especially if you're strapped for cash, the construction outfit's great. So that's one that I don't think needs a rework. But so I think there's potential. I think there's definitely a theme of like skilling outfits are good, but changing how they work is big.
Yes. I would love to see that. Apart from like changing emotes, like I said last week, if I'm hired at Jagex, one of my personal projects would be to look at skilling outfits. Because it's just like, again, there's no point. For the time it takes to get most of them, besides the woodcutting one, it's almost not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So woodcutting, I say it's not, you know, it's easy. It takes you 30 minutes max. I would either this is the two options you have. Either make all the skilling outfits where you can just buy them with money, or change how they work. Because the time it takes to get them does not equate any sort of benefit unless you're going for 200 mil.
It's also not balanced per outfit.
No, it's not. Like, it's not.
A couple of them are super random with RNG. A couple of them take a guaranteed like several hundred hours to get, you know, or several, even like several dozen hours.
Dozens of hours. Yeah, like, dozens
they
of
take,
hours.
You know, the construction outfit versus the prospector outfit take a different amount of time. But then if we're talking about the prospector outfit, we also kind of got to consider the recolor takes way too long
get.
The recolor takes ungodly too long to get the recolor. Again, for why, but I don't know, man.
No benefit. Zero benefit other than it looks cool.
Swag points. You know, but again, doesn't match the mining cape, so who gives a shit? Like, that was a missed opportunity there, Jagex.
That's a call out to episode 3? Episode 2?
But even then, that was episode... Yeah, that was episode 2. Damn.
Yeah.
But the shitty part about that is the prospector outfit looks really good with the mining cape. It's the recolored prospector outfit that looks like shit with the mining cape. Like,
but if you got a smithing cape, it is gorgeous.
Does look real good. With any gold trim cape, it looks real good. But
it's very true.
Yeah, I hope you guys liked our random ideas. This episode was kind of themed around the idea that we're just going to pitch some new things. These aren't like fully developed, fully fleshed out ideas. It's not like Reddit posts where you have to like zoom all the way in on your phone because there's so much information. You know, you click on an image on Reddit and it makes it super narrow because it's just so big. It isn't that well thought out, right? You've heard our things and have probably thought of corrections that would be objectively better than what we have suggested, right? Maybe you disagree with why we think we need some of these things as well, but it's just a suggestion to add new content to the game that and what does that hurt? So I hope you guys enjoyed this little spiel.
Yeah. And with that Reddit post idea, if you guys do end up like taking your idea and running with it, just give us credit, you know, shout out the show. That's all we ask. Like, I really don't care if somebody takes the concept of a spirit tree boss or like an int and just fully develops an entire woodcutting minigame, because I'm not going to do it. And how would it get in the game otherwise? So again, just credit us. It's all we care about.
Shout out to XP Waste for being
shout out to XP Waste. That's all you
gotta say. Intelligent and handsome.
Cite your sources.
when thinking about these things.
Maybe drop a link to this episode in your Reddit post. That's all we ask.
I'm so unconditionally mad about that. All right. This is just a random thing, right? I just had a frog appear next to me in Xenaris.
Uh-huh.
And longtime listeners and anyone who's been with me in VC know that if there's one thing I'll always with, it's a frog token. A frog popped up next to me, and it wasn't the frog random event. So I got hella excited for a frog token on the Iron Man. But I was just left with disappointment. And I think... because I didn't get a frog token, Michael.
What'd you get?
I got nothing. It's just one of those stupid Zanaris things that pop up and ask you dumbass questions. And, like, disappear. Your character's like, that was weird.
Was it a frog?
Yeah, it was the frog prince. The frog random event. Oh yeah, my gosh. I don't know. So I just got teased with a frog random event. I think that's an appropriate time to send people off for break. What do you think?
Yeah. So if you stick around after the break, which we hope you do, we'll have some fun questions. We'll do a little more theorizing with the fun question. So see you after this.
Hey howdy folks, my name is Prospector Percy and we're looking for some fine young adventurers who want to hone and grind their skills. Now if this sounds like you, then you've got to come on down to Motherload Mine. Down here we got everything you need to train up them gathering and artisan skills. We got hammers, we got pickaxes, we got dwarves, we got other adventurers, we got a bank, and we got some baby moles. We've even got Grandma! Howdy Grandma!
Howdy Percy!
You probably gonna come on down here looking for ores, let me tell you, we got all sorts. We got coal, we got gold, we got mithril, we got adamantite, and even runite! And where do all them there ores come from? Say it with me, fellas. Pay dirt! That's right, folks, them there walls are lined with pay dirt. Mine a bag full and toss them on the conveyor belt. Watch it go down the water, say hi to the baby mole for me! Once it hits the sack, go mine some more! Load your pay dirt on till the bag is full and fix that dang wheel! When your sack's all full and you're picking through them rocks, you might find some of them there gold nuggets. I'll take them off your hands for all sorts of goodies, like bags of gems and bags for coal and bags for more pay dirt. I've even got some fancy mining clothes, because who doesn't love a fishing fashion skate? Cart your way down to Falador to the Muddleload Mine, just next to the mining guild, to make all your pay dirt dreams come true!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. We hope that you enjoyed that commercial break, because I know that I sure did. It is the part of the show where we shout out our lovely patrons. We love all of you, but we're going to start out with the Wise Old Man tier. Shout out to Scape Caution, Lagio, Bolimer, Basket, Benjamin R, Hadadbod, C. Gladney, Morty, Creamed Ham, Durf Nasty, Drum TXT, Duke Bradley, D. Falconer, Flying Cassiel, Forestry, Fortimus, Imby Jones, Jack M, Jake W, Jordy, Potato Pancake, Posh Padre, 999999, Ice, Qualo, Russa Fury, Oxy's Left Nut, Ryan H, Salted Snake, Soggy Waffles, Shadow, Swag Daddy 3000. I love that. Toast No Toast, Troll, Tyler H, and Zach without a K. Thank you to all of our Wise Old Man patrons. And we got to shout out our KBD tier people. Big shout out to Oxy's Dad, my dad, Cookies in Milf, Draven, Kroll, the Lord Jake himself, our third favorite supporter, Ralph, and Spartan Fire. Thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. If you want to join the Patreon, head over to patreon.com/xwaste. We have two other tiers we didn't mention. That is the Gnome Child and the Party Pete, both at $1 and $5 respectively. Lots of cool benefits linked to Patreon. So now it is time for our community question. So last week we asked you guys, what is your favorite diary reward? So we're not going to have time to read all of them, so I'm just going to pick at random.
Which is entirely my fault, by the way. I told Michael we got to go fast. So if your community question doesn't get answered, I apologize. That's my fault. I have friends waiting in my apartment to go get drunk with me right now. So
yeah,
fast.
I'm jealous. Anyway, like I said, we're going to pick at random because that's the only fair way to do this. So I'm scrolling and you can see I'm going to stop right there. P Daddy says, I'm huge into farming, so I like the Arty Cape 4 and the Mauritania Elite. I do too. And we're scrolling. Stop. Bone Crusher, Jacob M. Bone Crusher, I get low-key triggered when I see bones on the ground. I don't know if I relate, but I do like the Bone Crusher. And finally, we have Josiah L. I have all the mediums and a few hards done so far. My favorite for now is the Rada's Blessing. Great one. Clutch Telly to Konar and the Elite Completion means the best in slot blessing. Close second is the Morty Hard for the Barrows Telly. So thank you to everyone who did answer the community question this week. They should all be pinned on Spotify if you want to go and read them. And we have two or three responses on the YouTube. So go to last week's video and check the pinned comment. But this week, we want to ask, how would you rework a skilling outfit? I think that's a relevant question. And I'd love to know what your thoughts are.
Yeah. Or add a skilling outfit. Cool topic. Who knows?
Yeah. Add a skilling outfit. What skill needs a skilling outfit? Oxy, I think it's time for the achievement of the week.
So we do have some achievements of the week, as we always do. The biggest one we're going to talk about this week is the skilling achievements of the week, because we have a lot of 99s. And what's exciting about that is it's a lot of 99s from like one person. So
yes,
longtime friend of the clan, the Mig. I don't know why I'm saying friend of the clan. He's in the clan, respected member, Mig. Hi, Mig. He got 99 mining, 99 smithing, and 99 agility.
Oh my
god! All in like 2 days. So GZ, the man. Brother. Was absolutely pounding out 99, so he's getting a special shout out for cracking off a lot of just shitty skills done in 1 week. To get mining and agility done in 1 week, and you said he already has runecrafting done, right?
Yep. Yeah.
That's huge.
He's got all he's got all the hard ones done. So he's basically maxed.
Yeah.
2262 total, by the way.
Damn. Now there have been some other 99s this week that of course we're not going to breeze over because it's unfair to talk about one 99 when others happened. Forestry got 99 mining. Our friend Woo! Big Comfort got 99 range at Vorkath, which I think is fun. And our friend Stin got 99 crafting. He didn't get it any. He got it at the Grand Exchange, not at Vorkath. Forestry got his at Motherlode Mine. So we do have a quest achievement of the week, you know, the cape of accomplishment. Our friend Matt RSM got his first ever quest cape on his Iron Man this week.
Nice.
Which is double impressive, kind of. I don't know. I shouldn't be praising Iron Man mode, but I am because, God, it's this harder. Game mode is cursed.
It's harder, so...
Great guns. That's this great. This game mode is cursed. So yes, congratulations on your quest cape there. Big achievement. We love a good quest cape around here.
Yeah.
And in line with other things that we here at TNL absolutely just adore, I got two that I want to shout out because I got two relatively PVM-based ones. I also just saw that Tranquil Days got 99 mining. Shout out to you, Tranquil Days, for getting in there because we recorded several days late. But we got two PVM-related ones. We've got Haves. Yeah, that's how you say his name. We've got Haves, who killed Zulra for the first time ever on Woo! Any account. And it's on his Iron Man, too. So, hell yeah. We love first Zulra kills. He did it with the crystal bow, just like we said. 15 HP in a dream. Hell yeah. So congratulations. That's always huge to finish Zulra for the first time. Get that diary step done. We also have our friend Duke Bradley, who said, let's f-ing go. Never thought I'd get this far, but here we are. Completed recipe for disaster.
Woo!
Shouting that out for two reasons. Number one, we do love ourselves a good... a good best in slot upgrade or second best in slot upgrade, but like realistically for a mid to late game account, best in slot upgrade, you've heard the spiel before. And Recipe for Disaster is actually a hell of a lot of PVM.
That final boss fight is like seven boss fights in one, plus all the other stuff you have to fight throughout the mini quests. So I'll consider the completion of RFD a PVM achievement. I died during RFD before the death rework, and lost I lost my like mystic and all my death runes because I was using like fire blast live on stream. It was the noob times were something back in the day. Yeah. So that is going to do it for achievement of the week this week. As always, for everyone who achieved something, congratulations. Keep posting things in our Discord. We'd love to see when you guys do something awesome. No matter how big or how small you may think it is, throw it in there. We'd love to see it.
Yeah, and if you want to send us an email, we would love to receive your achievement of the week by email or just anything you want to talk about.
Or postcard.
Well, I was going to get to that. If you have an email you want to send us, it's xsoupbasedpod@gmail.com. If you want to send us a postcard of what we're going to talk about next, which is a fun question, you can send it to xpwastepodcast@POBOX634. Haslett, Texas, 76052. I don't know why I have to read that every time. I've got it memorized. I just, for confidence, I read it. But please, I haven't checked the post. I haven't checked the P.O. box in a minute, probably for like a week or a week and a half. So if there is a postcard in there and I just haven't gotten it yet, I will check it tomorrow. That being said, though, if you send us a fun question on a postcard, I will physically read it in front of you. So that'll be fun. But it is fun question time, is it not?
It is. It is fun question time. I know this is really abridged as per normal with an episode, but like I'm going home tomorrow. I won't be able to record on my laptop. Yeah. I'm going out in like 20 minutes. We gotta go fast. So thank you guys for bearing with us on this kind of scuffed second portion.
Yeah. Well, we had a whole fun question segment that'll never see the light of day. So we kind of have to do it quick. I think that's the theme of this whole episode. It'll probably be one of the shortest episodes
that we've had in a long time. Yeah, in a long time.
And so this week, we do have a fun question for you. We're just going to recycle the one we did from Sunday. But I challenge you, Oxy, to pick a different answer because I'm going to try.
Damn it. Okay,
I think my answer from Sunday was fun, but this wouldn't be the fun question if it wasn't from the top of our head. So, Oxy, if you could pick a boss from a Disney movie villain for a quest or just a random boss encounter in Old School RuneScape, who would it be?
I'm going to repeat what I said the other day. Ursula, right? But she owns a castle, and she puts you through five waves of intense PVM encounters until the very end of this long fight. You have to fight Ursula herself, and she has three phases. In her final phase, she says, "Behold my true nature." And yeah, she's the basis for Verzik. So that was the joke from the other day, but you know, funny joke twice and expect people to laugh. I'm annoyed that you're making me change it, because I actually developed my Lotso hug and bear fight a little bit. But
okay, I mean, if we have time, you can say it again.
But no, at this point, I figured it out. You remember the Knights Wave training grounds?
Yeah.
We're doing a little something like that, but hear me out, right? Knights Wave training grounds, but it's the Seven Dwarves.
What?
I know they're not villains, right? They're not inherently bad guys. You wanted something off the top of my head? Bitch, okay. This is off the top of my head. Knights Wave training grounds, but it's the Seven Dwarves. And each of them are so different combatively that you have to take weird shit. There's a dude running past me right now. He's bare naked with a Slayer helm and a dark bow. Shout out to you, Veraminthus. Could be an Iron Man, could be a gold farmer, doesn't matter. Maybe one of them can only be killed with a dark bow spec, you know? Okay. Maybe you have to... Maybe Sleepy is like the final boss. Sleepy's like Nightmare, you know? Oh my God, maybe Nightmare is Sleepy. Who knows, man? That would be funny as hell. Sleepy is just the Nightmare fight, but like really short. So yeah.
Because there's Knights different Wave themes of dwarves. So then, you know, you have Grumpy, you have Sleepy, you have Sneezy. So they just have different abilities and or mechanics.
Yeah, they have different resistances. Related. So you have to fight with all three combat styles. Maybe it's like the Inferno where you have to do it all at once. all at once. So you have to like manage supplies and like tribrid all your gear while you're in there, you know? So
yeah.
What
I love that.
Dwarf wave training grounds.
So I guess that's a little twist on the actual question, because it could be name a Disney character to make into a boss.
Well, I had a villain in mind. I was thinking the Inferno, but it's Lotso Hug and Bear, and you have to go through several waves of toys before you get to Lotso. And then you have to fight Lotso with like tribrid combat at the very end, and he'll like stamp his cane and shit and like try to throw you in lava. Like, oh, who knows, man? So, but now that that one's off the table, you. Yeah, I don't know. That's
Where's awesome. Your kid now, Sheriff?
So mine is mine was Scar from Lion King, since we're talking about the ones we had last time, and just a giant lion boss with like hyena minions. This time around, I'm going with the villain from The Incredibles, the mole guy who has like the drill thing.
Yeah.
So it's going to be in addition to the mole. It'll be Giant Mole too. And once you kill
the mole, Giant Mole.
It's hard mode Giant Mole. Once you kill the mole, it unlocks. It drops a key, or it drops some sort of like paw that you use on a door. And once you go in the door, it sets off this guy who has a giant drill that you have to avoid throughout his boss lair, as well as fighting him and all of his minions. So little baby mole's coming at you with like sharp claws, slightly like possessed and or pumped up on like chemicals to make him more deadly, because giant moles are not that hard. Baby moles are very cute. But that was actually the first one that came to mind when we recorded last time, was like something to do with the Incredibles boss. But I couldn't flesh it out in the 3 seconds I had to think about it the other day. But I don't know, because I haven't seen the Incredibles in a while, but I've seen the Incredibles 2. And the Incredibles stops right when that guy pops out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then Incredibles 2 picks up during that fight. And it's an epic fight. Like, he's destroying the entire city. So trying to stop that drill could be like, you know, it's going to destroy Falador or something. And you have to like run alongside it and knock the wheels off or something. But each time you do end up killing it, it like resets the instance or something. I don't know. Or he repairs it and he's like, I'll meet next time we meet again. You know, like how you can continually kill the Temporos. Although you shouldn't be able to. It's just like you get back and they're like, hey, it's back. So
that's all that work was for nothing. Thanks.
All that work for nothing. Just grind.
1,000-year-old entity that's trapped behind these doors or trapped out at sea. It's just never going to go away now. Have fun.
No. You could make it to where like it's a Hispori type thing where the boss encounter takes like 5 or 10 minutes and you can only do it once every 24 hours to give him time to like remake his drill. But no, I like yours. I think yours is awesome. I would love to expand off of like some sort of good Disney character that somehow you exploit their goodness and turn it evil.
Oh my God. That's wonderfully manipulative. Good God.
I don't know. Like take Pocahontas, but she's got like evil, like wildlife that she fights you with. I don't know.
Hard mode Pocahontas.
Exactly.
Avoiding getting way too political with that one, just like,
of course,
settle this dick kind of like mentality.
Like, anyway, folks, that's the condensed version of the fun question. If there was a way that we could even remotely release last recording, we would, but it's not going to happen because it would just be me talking to air.
Yeah. So
we may be able to put Oxy's like video somewhere, and
I don't know why you'd want to
read.
I don't know why you'd want to, but
just do a bad lip reading version of that recording. Just like record what we think you said.
Bro, somebody's gonna commit to that bit. Oh my God.
Oh gosh.
But
just have him say "Long live the fruit" all the time. The whole like 2 hour recording.
Right.
But it is that point of the episode now where we talk about the links in the description. So if you're not aware and you've been listening to 61 episodes of XP Waste, there is a description. Even if you're just an audio listener. So on the podcast app of choice, you either scroll down a little bit or you click view more. I don't know if that's helpful to you, but we do a lot of work in the description to give you relevant information. You can find our Patreon there. You can find our XPWaste.shop.
We copy and paste it every week. We have a document called episode links and descriptions. Don't let him gaslight you.
XPWaste.shop is there. We have Fruit Merch Live. You can find it you can find new designs potentially. You never know. So I would go back and check it literally every day. There's not any new designs. But all of the social links are in there. You can check out this week's blog post from Jagex. And you can email us. Find our email in the description. But that's it for this episode, folks. Sorry it's a shorter one. We thank you so much for the support. We love you guys so much. And Oxy's going to go have some fun. And I'm going to go and eat a bowl of cereal.
Hell yeah.
Bye.